Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christensen. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. Also remember, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Hit our subscribe button for the top 200 drugs and get that 31-page PDF for free of the top 200 drugs. I discuss, lay out the pharmacology in there as well as some of the most important things that you're going to actually see in clinical practice. So again, check that out at reallifepharmacology.com. All right, so let's get into the drug today. I'm going to talk about nortriptyline. Brand name of this medication is Pamelor. And I certainly do see this medication used periodically in clinical practice. So first off, it is a tricyclic antidepressant. I did a little bit of a general overview of TCAs before, but wanted to dig down deep with nortriptyline because there's definitely some unique quirks with it that I wanted to point out. So the diagnosis that we're most likely going to see with this medication, or at least the most common I've seen in clinical practice, is in association with various types of pain. Technically, it's classified as an antidepressant. It can certainly be used for that. I've probably seen it more so in nerve-type pain personally. So, you know, you think of diabetic neuropathy, postherpetic neuralgia, things like that. But it is off-label. It isn't technically FDA-approved for that. But we've got some evidence saying that it can be beneficial potentially in those specific diagnoses. Other kind of unique indications that I have seen, rarely I have seen it used for chronic headaches. I have seen it used like second or third line down the road for smoking cessation as well. So kind of a jack of all trades drugs. And as I think about this medication, I recognize that it's got a pretty complex mechanism of action and that it does a lot of different stuff, which can be good. It may indicate that it might be beneficial for multiple things. That also can indicate that we might have a pretty wide-ranging adverse effect profile and drug interaction profile, which we certainly do with nortriptyline. So mechanistically, it's going to increase the amount of norepinephrine and serotonin in the brain. That's the simple way of putting it. It does that primarily by blocking reuptake in the presynaptic membrane of the neurons. So that's how it increases norepinephrine and serotonin. It also has other activity potentially blocking histamine. Could also potentially block acetylcholine. So I'll talk about that a little bit as we get to the drug interaction section. So there is, as far as adverse effects go, there is a boxed warning for suicidality risk in pediatric patients and adolescents, so that's important to note. Adverse drug reactions. The most common thing that I see are anticholinergic effects and sedation. Those are going to be the ones that show up most often. These are going to be dose dependent, generally. So the higher you go on the dose, the more anticholinergic activity you're probably going to get. And just a reminder, constipation, dry mouth, urinary retention, dry eyes, sedation I mentioned, and also potentially confusion. That's more likely, probably, as we use this drug in older patients, but certainly something to note. Weight gain can be an issue, so if we're using this in a younger patient where we don't want to cause weight gain, that can be an issue with this med. Fall risk and orthostasis, so lower blood pressure rarely can happen with this medication as well. So something to watch out for in your geriatric patients. Is also rarely associations with QTC prolongation. So there's a lot of drugs that can do that. I'll mention that in the drug interaction section as well. Now monitoring, this is an interesting one. Certainly we think about some of those adverse effects and keeping an eye out for that, you know, whether it's blood pressure, whether it's, you know, EKG, QTC prolongation, if you've got a patient at risk for that, Those are important monitoring things, obviously, as well as success of the treatment, whether you're using it for pain or depression or whatever you're using it for. This drug, uniquely for depression, has therapeutic drug levels that we target. And those levels are 70 to 170. They maybe can vary a little bit depending upon the lab and depending upon the units, obviously, you're using. That's nanograms per mil. But that is one really, really unique thing. Any typically SSRI, we usually don't target drug levels. We simply escalate on the dose. We target our based upon the response from our patient. We don't necessarily do drug levels routinely in with a lot of the common antidepressant meds. So kind of a unique thing there. Onset of action. So this is a little bit controversial and a little bit muddy. As an antidepressant, you're going to see those beneficial effects likely weeks down the road. You're not going to see it within the first week, at least in most situations. Now, pain, that activity you may see a little bit sooner, maybe within a few days, but in some patients, I have seen it take longer, where maybe it's a few weeks before we start seeing that pain benefit. So that can be a little bit muddy, and you might need to be a little bit patient with the onset of this medication, regardless of the indication that you're using it for there. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we will finish up on drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, if you're looking to pick up some clinical pearls from educational readings, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. Again, meded101.com/store. We've got pharmacotherapy, ambulatory care, MTM, as well as geriatric pharmacist certification study materials. So go scope them out. You can find links to our NAPLEX content as well if you're a student preparing for that. And then, of course, all our Clinical Pearls books and Audible books and things of that nature as well. So go check that out, meded101.com/store. All right, so let's finish up on drug interactions. So first off, nortriptyline is broken down through the CYP pathway. And that is definitely one of the primary mechanisms that this drug is broken down, and it's CYP2D6. So if you go back to bupropion, I talked about, you know, a few of those drugs that can do that. We've also got numerous additive drug interactions with nortriptyline. So we think about some of the effects that this drug can cause, anticholinergic activity, your Benadryls, your hydroxyzine, cyclobenzaprine, even in some of your inhaled anticholinergics, particularly in relation to exacerbating like dry mouth, for example, they can all have additive effects on top of the nortriptyline and potentially make some of those symptoms worse. Dementia medications, so acetylcholinesterase inhibitors, your donepezils, your rivastigmines, those effects, those benefits from those medications could be blocked by an anticholinergic medication like nortriptyline. And then, of course, we've got to think about QTC prolongation. I mentioned that, you know, your quinolone antibiotics, your amiodarones, your antipsychotics, medications along those lines, those can have potentially additive effects. And going back to the mechanism of action, increasing serotonin, increasing norepinephrine, if we've got other meds on board that have additive effects there, we could have issues. You think of, tramadol, for example, and then, of course, other antidepressants, SSRIs, SNRIs, and MAOIs. So typically, we don't use TCAs with an SNRI. Okay, mechanistically, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to do that, and you might put that patient at risk for more adverse effects than it's worth. So typically, I can't say I've never seen it, but by and large, you should generally question it if you see a patient on an SSRI or an SNRI with a tricyclic antidepressant like nortriptyline. So a little bit of clinical practice experience there. Certainly don't be afraid to at least ask the question to the provider who's prescribing those medications, because I've seen it numerous times where maybe a primary provider wasn't communicating well with the psychiatrist or vice versa. A patient started seeing a new provider, and then all of a sudden we didn't know that they were already on a TCA, and then maybe an SSRI gets added or an SNRI. And then we kind of double up and add up on that mechanism and cause some potential risk for additive adverse effects like serotonin syndrome. So I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast today, do me a solid and definitely go leave a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly, greatly appreciated. If you're in the market for board certification study materials, and or just looking for a good book to pick up some clinical pearls on, definitely go check out meded101.com/store and find all the links to everything there. I'm going to sign off for today. Thanks so much for listening. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.